Psalm 119 verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. There are two parts in our sanctification. There is a negative part and there is a positive aspect. Theologians have called it mortification and vivification. I don't know if you've heard about this term called vivification, but it's a very important aspect. There is one side, there is a killing that needs to happen. And there is another side, there is a reviving of new life that needs to happen. Okay? So, vivification is nothing but the process of making something more alive, more active. So, mortification is killing of sin in us, and vivification is the reviving of divine life in us so that we grow in grace. Mortification is avoiding evil, and vivification is going beyond the negative and doing good works. So holiness is not just avoiding sin, right? Holiness goes beyond that. It's a reviving of the new life and growing of the new life, which results in fruits and good works. If you don't do the one, we cannot grow in the other, right? If you give room to your sin, and if you allow your lusts to reign in your heart and don't kill your sin, you cannot, you know, do good works. And we have to stop sinning and disobeying God so that we can walk in the ways of God. So in this verse, David, one side he prays for mortification, right? Verse 29, remove from me the way of lying. And the second part, he prays for vivification, right? Where he's saying, grant me your law graciously. Let's see the, so those are the two parts of this verse. So let's see the first part of mortification, right? Remove from me the way of lying. There are two things we can see in this verse. He describes his sin as a way of lying. And his prayer, he begs very earnestly to remove that. Remove, Lord. And I think we've always learned a way. The meaning of the way indicates it's a lifestyle. Right? It's not once in a blue moon incident, but it's a lifestyle formed after walking in that path for many, many years, and it kind of becomes a pattern in our life. It kind of becomes a habit where it becomes a way, right? How we live. And what kind of way is he talking about? He's referring to something called as the way of lying. What does the way of lying mean? How does someone start walking in the way of lying, right? We have to understand that our lifestyle is nothing but an expression of what we deeply believe. I say that a theology determines our biology. If we have believed certain lies of the world and the devil, and we will walk in the way of lying. And if you can, all the sinning patterns in your life, if you kind of analyze it, it can directly be traced back to some false lies of the devil which you would have probably believed at some point in time. And that's why if you actually look at some commentaries trying to understand what is this way of lying, some of them refer to this as this is a false way. This is a false doctrine. It's an error in the doctrine, a false way against God's word. And that's where David contrasts this way of lying in the next verse to God's law, right? In the same verse, he brings a contrast. So the way of lying is the devil's way. It is a way of against the God's truth. It's some heresy. It is some error of the doctrine. And a man is impacted by these lying ideas, which has actually impacted his lifestyle. And I was thinking, you know, okay, David is praying, remove the way of lying from me. I will, this How should this be? How will this become an earnest prayer for me? Oh my, when I was thinking about this, and you know, we start digging it, right? We can't keep thinking about it and meditating. And you know, I was overwhelmed today morning, and I felt this is such a convicting verse about myself. And this kind of happens every week in this psalm, right? How much of way of lying is inside me? I was kind of very convicted, and I started begging God with David, Lord, remove from me the way of lying and grant me the law, grant me your law graciously. Let me help you understand how much we are deeply affected by these lies, the way of lying, right? There are two ways we are affected, one externally and internally. Externally, Bible says the whole world is in the control of the devil. How? Have you asked that? How does the devil control this world? It is by his lies. He is the father of lies, right? Devil has filled this world with his lies, and it is all controlled by his lies. He is the god of this world. How? Again, by his lies, right? He controls this world. He kind of spreads his doctrine, lies about life, lies about death, lies about past and future and present and God, and all kinds of lies. We are constantly bombarded by the lies of the devil. And he uses this world as his platform. You know, the media, the TV, the mobile, and we keep hearing so many ideas, and ideas are so powerful, we don't recognize that. Right? You know, it's so powerful. It kind of, once it's kind of sown in your mind, you know, it kind of gives expression in different ways in our life. There are ideas about, you know, we hear about ideas about marriage, ideas about happiness, ideas about contentment, and we believe that. We don't see those are lies, right? We believe because many of them are backed with strong defense of self-interest, of secular interest, and maybe worldly reasoning, logical reasoning. And we understood, we kind of believe that it's a fact, but those are lies. And important lies are false opinions concerning God and about his word and about his promises, threats. He controls Christianity in false ways of worshipping God. He doesn't allow us to completely trust in God's promises. How? He brings temptations into our life. And he fills our heart with the worries of the world, cares of the world. And he kind of hinders us from believing God's promises, right? And he makes us emboldened in sin by lying to us. Oh, you cannot believe that God is serious about this. You cannot take God's threats against sin seriously. You shall surely not die, right? That's what he said to Eve. And we are all constantly affected by those lies. And they are opposed to the way of truth, which is actually spoken in the next verse where David says, I've chosen the way of the truth. And we start giving room to all these ideas, and we get influenced by that. And sometimes it's kind of deeply engraved in our consciousness, and it affects how we think and speak and act and respond in a situation. We don't recognize that. These lies make us live a life in the way of lying, right? It becomes a lifestyle, and every wrong thinking or word or practice in our life is because of a wrong seed sown by the devil in our mind, right? So David, as a natural man who lives in this world, fallen world, is influenced by many, many lies of the devil so much, and it's become his lifestyle. So he prays, Lord, externally I'm being bombarded by these lies. I'm affected, and I see that in my life. So please remove this. And then not only externally, think about internally. Are we so pure and you know that only the world destroys us? No, we know we are depraved. We have a depraved nature. We have remaining sin in us. And there is a strong inclination within us because of a corrupt nature to believe these lies. Right? And it kind of sticks with us. We love these lies. Psalm 58:3 says, we go astray as soon as we are born, and we go, you know, we speak lies from the womb. speaking lies, we go astray speaking lies from our womb. A corrupt heart loves to believe wrong things about God, right? It loves these lies that devil is sharing, that God is not so holy. He will not hate your sin so much, right? His law is not so strict. You can play around with God. And God is not so omnipotent that he knows even the deepest lust that you are nurturing and cherishing in your heart. Oh, we want to believe that it's not true. God is so sovereign. God is so just and so... we don't want to believe all that. And we love these lies, right? A sinful heart, you know, desires these lies. And error is very natural to us. And a man loves to please himself with a figment of his own imagination. Somebody said, all practical errors in the world are man's natural thoughts. They are believed because they're all backed by not only strong defenses of self-interest, self-worldly reasoning and other advantages. We love because we love to believe lies about God. And so internally and externally, you know, these lies not only influence us, but impact our life. David sees the impact in his own life, so he prays. Lord, the world externally constantly bombards me with lies. And my sinful heart loves these lies. And it has impacted me so much from my birth that I end up so many ways going wrong in my life. And many times I live in the way of lying. It has become an habit and a lifestyle and a pattern for me. You know, David had problems, right? David had problems in his life. You know, do you know he was known for lying? There was a time when he was chasing from, when Saul was pursuing, the man everywhere he goes, he will lie. Just watch his life. Just lie. Go to Abimelech, the high priest, there he will lie that I have come here for Saul's work and do you have any sword? It's a lie. And then he goes to Achish and gives all kinds of lies. Then he goes to Philistines and lies and lies, lies, lies. And he had other problems, right? You know, he had many wives which he kept, and nourishing, and he kept believing some devil's lies that it will not result in some major consequences. And he fell into a sin of murder, adultery, and he used lies to cover up all that. How did he fall so low? It was not a sudden act, people. It's a pattern. It's a way of lying that was formed many, many years that resulted in disastrous consequences in that man's life, right? Many, many temptations and lust. So way of sin is the way of lying, okay? Because it deceives us. Bible calls Ephesians 2:22 says deceitful lust. They deceive us. If they lie to us, you know, the lusts are deceitful because they promise which they can't deliver. And they kind of make us bold in sin. They flatter us and they give us assurance that, you know, we will be exempted from the punishment. There will not be major consequences of our action. And it kind of makes us brave and, you know, bold in temptation. Those are lies, right? And those are devil's lies. And they also, not only they embolden us negatively, we will not face any temptation, but they also lie to us saying, they kind of give us this imaginary satisfaction, that imaginary pleasure. Oh, it is an old lie, right? Devils deceive their parents. No, pretending that they're going to achieve immortality. You shall surely not die. But he brought death to the whole mankind by that lie. And most of us believe that lie. And every wrong disobedience in our life, every sin can be traced back to a lie that has been sown in our heart. And if there is besetting sin and regular pattern of sin in your life, you have allowed that you are walking in the way of lying. How easily we believe, you know, how many believe the truth of Christ? It is better to cut our right hand than to sin and suffer terrible consequences. Oh, we don't believe that. Oh, we believe the devil, right? We can sin. There are no big consequences for sin. That's the devil's lie. And that lie, when we kind of allow that in our heart, it leads to an act, a habit, and a pattern, and a lifestyle, which is called the way of lie. Every act of sin, right? Like we sang in a song, it kind of it lessens the threat of the law in our conscience. And it kind of increases our carnal inclination towards that sin. Every act of sin. Where, it kind of allows us to go in the path of sin, right? So David pleads earnestly with God. Do you see why we should plead with David? Do you see why it's so important? Lord, remove from me the way of lying. The way of lying. There is your truth that's going to come next. Your truth, which is absolute truth. That is the truth, but I am filled in this world full of lies, bombarded with lies. And my own heart loves those lies. Right? And those are so convincing. And it's kind of the convincing promise of gratification and the pleasant persuasion that I always feel. It helplessly entices my soul to walk in the way of lying. Lord, remove the way of lying. I beg you, please remove this way. And secondly, he's saying, God, you remove it. The reason that he's asking is because we can't do it. We attempt to do it, but we can't do it. Because our resolutions or whatever the strong will that we have, it's all weak, right? Our resolutions are weak and our confession says our will is so weak before this mighty powers of our enemy and before this mighty power of his lying. He controls this whole world with that lying. And we need divine help. And that's why he says, Lord, you remove it. We need God's sanctifying grace to mortify this way of lying in our heart. So David prays here for mortification grace. So that's negative. Now let's move to the positive. Secondly, he says, not only remove from me the way of lying, but grant me, positively, grant me your law graciously. Grant me your law graciously. There are two things again here. The blessing that he seeks is grant me your law. And the basis upon which it should be granted is grace. Right? Grant me your law. What, David? Don't you have the law of God? God has already granted that law and given it to you in writing. And in fact, if you know the Old Testament, every king has to write his own Bible. Right? He has to write it in his own hand. So David would have had God's law written in his own handwriting. Then why is he asking, grant me thy law? Because he understands that there is a difference between God generally granting his revelation to his people and then personally granting his law to each person by illumination. Right? He's not asking for the law, written law in a book, but he's asking for the law of God to be written in his own heart. There's a big difference, right? We may have the common knowledge of God's word, but we need the granting of this law to us particularly personally. Notice he's not saying grant us. He's saying, grant me specifically, personally. The law is to be granted to us. When the law is granted to us when it is written upon our hearts and minds. That's when we are illuminated. That's when we understand the glory of the truth and the blessed way of walking in the law. And that illumination makes us see how pitiable, how horrible, and how dangerous, and how wrong is the way of lying. And the consequences and the way and whatever the promises that devil gives and all that is deceitful. We see, understand that deceit only when God grants us the law and taints us from that way. It is only this granting that will help us to come out of the way of the lying. And this illumination not only leads to mortification, but it will also lead to vivification. It gives us a renewed energy and life and fills us our heart with new energy and strength to obey the law, to love the law. And what is the basis of this prayer? On what basis God will write the law in your heart, David? He's saying, on the basis of grace. On the basis of the covenant of grace, because God has promised, right, in the covenant, he will not only give the law in the writing, in a book, But you know what is the promise of the new covenant? Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel in those days, talking about the new covenant, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. What a blessed promise. Right? They will all be taught by God. God has granted his law to the church in general. And we may enjoy the common knowledge of common blessings and grow in the common knowledge of God's word by reading and attending the public preaching ministry. All those are necessary. But we may not experience this personal, particular benefits of the covenant of grace till the law is imprinted in our hearts, which alone will result in mortification, removing of the way of the lying, and take us to the vivification stage where we end up obeying God's word and doing good works and bearing fruit. Right? So that's the explanation. So we see the mortification and vivification. We see David, what an earnest prayer, right? Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. So what do we take as an application? Only the sick know the value of medicine, right? Only when you recognize how much of lies, how much you are impacted by the way of lying, you will crave for this medicine. Right? When you understand the plague of your heart, the depravity of your heart, how desperately wicked it is, right? How it is kind of stubborn, right? You know, every disobedience or sin in our life. And the reason that we don't grow in God's word consistently, our spiritual life, is the reason that we are not illuminated, right? Is because our mind, everything, think about your life, okay? Think about what you're struggling with. Think about where your problems are, spiritual life. It's all because of a set of lies that has planted in your heart. And you're walking in the way of lying. It's all the impact of that. Examine and see how much of sin in your life, how much of disobedience, and how you don't believe God, you don't truly believe his promises, you don't truly believe his threats, and you don't fear God, and you don't take God's word seriously because of you are being influenced by the spell of the way of lying. The way of lying, that's the way of hell. And nothing hinders our growth in the soul, right? Think about connecting this to the previous verse. He says, my soul is melting, strengthen it according to your word. Why is the soul becoming weak? Why is the soul melting at some time? It is because of these wrong, it is the fleshly lust that wage war against our soul, right? These lusts that wage war, why do they work? They are deceitful lusts because they lie to us. They wage war with our souls and they cheat us. And you know what? They create such damage and they weaken our souls. Think about it. I was just think about the way of lying, right? Just think about the sin of lying. That itself is convicting, right? How slightly we take lying, right? How natural it is. And we don't even notice sometimes we lie. And we lie to our children, we lie to our family, and we lie about many places, right? We lie to joke, right? For jokes, we lie. And to escape some danger, we lie. And to seek some help, some favor, to slander somebody. And think about, in a way, are we walking in the way of lying, or are we genuine, true people? Is there complete transparency and integrity in our life? Are we what we kind of show what we are to the world? Right? We put up a show outside. Are we genuinely what we are as we come across outside? Right? I was thinking, am I very genuine and transparent with my family when I am at home? How many lies do I lie to my wife and put up a show which I am not? And husbands and children. And what about the way we live in our workplace? What about how we come across in the church? How many lies, right? There's no honesty. There's no integrity. There is a person inside a different person and outside a different person. And we should hate that, right? It's not only part of the Ten Commandments, but Scripture condemns all kinds of lying. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every kind of lie. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Right? Every man truth. And this is such a gospel witness. We'll have to, I think we should be known to people who always speak the truth. Revelation 21:8 says, all liars are shut out of Jerusalem. All liars shall have their portion there. It says liars. In the lake that burneth with fire. I think there should be an obsession with truth for us. Just be true, and it is so relieving, right? It is so relieving to be true, honest. Right? And just an example where I have a tenant who's vacating, and then he called me and asked me, okay, your new tenants are coming. What rent should I tell them? I told him, tell them the truth. Right? Just tell them what you're paying. And I will ask them whatever it is. Just tell them the truth. Why should you say anything else? Right? And the world is filled with lies, right? You know, so many ways, small ways we keep lying. And we ourselves, unconsciously, we do that. I think we should become conscious about that. Pray to God that He should mortify, remove this way of lie. And pray with David. Not only, Lord, remove this way of lying. You know, not only verbal lies, but all the influence of lies in my heart. And all the wrong patterns and wrong sins. Try to trace out, okay? If you did something wrong, try to trace out, why did you do that wrong? And if you actually trace back and have the patience and, you know, spirit self, you will trace it back to something that you have strongly believed that is against God's word. That's a lie that you have believed. Right? So, we should, and the only way to escape from that is, grant to me personally, grant me thy law graciously, Lord. Lord, not only external law, I'm thankful for that, right? May the finger of Holy Spirit write the law in my heart and mind, as you promised in the new covenant, so that it enables me, it urges me, it allows me to bear all kinds of fruits in the holiness, in practical life. If Holy Spirit grants this, imagine, right? There are two effects we can always see. One is, we will always have a conscious sense and a controlling sense that the rule of our life should be the law of God. You'll feel that in your heart. It's not as if an external restraint, but within, internally, there will be a sense and a consciousness that the rule of my life, what a wonderful thing, right? Psalm 37:31 says, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. If it is in book only, we may slide, right? But if it is in our heart, right, to guide us in all our actions, we may not slide. What a wonderful blessing. And not only that, not only a sense and consciousness within that the rule and everything that I think should be restrained within the confines of God's law, but we will have such energy, such fervency to love and obey the law very cheerfully, very happily, very heartily. There's so joyful, there will be a joyful energy, ability, strength to obey the law. How do I say that? Psalm 48, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yes, thy law is in my heart. Why are you delighting, David? Because the law is in my heart. Oh, we want this, people. Ready and cheerful obedience to God's will. It's a great evidence sign that God has written his law in our heart. Don't we want that? And we study and practice, right? And God has, it should be a great encouragement for us, because God has bound himself to bestow this great blessing to depraved and completely twisted creatures like you and me. This should encourage us to pray, Lord, you have promised, right? It's a new covenant promise that you will write your law in our hearts and our minds. Right? So let's pray for this. I think it's a wonderful prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful verse. And with earnestness, with recognizing the plague of our own hearts and the struggles that we go through in our Christian life, O Lord, we join this great man of God and plead for mortification. Remove the way of lying, O Lord. Lord, there are many ways that we lie and we walk in the way of lying. Lord, we know that our own hearts witness to that, and we can't hide these things from you, O Lord. Lord, and we recognize the great remedy for that is to grant us, O Lord, O grant us. Grant us thy law. Grant me thy law according to the covenant of the grace, where you promise that you will write your law, the finger of Holy Spirit will write the law in our hearts and minds. Burn them, engrave them, O Lord, so that we can join David and say, we delight to do your law, O Lord, because your law is written in our hearts. Bless us, Lord. Bless us with that blessing, as you have promised in your covenant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.